This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jared Smith here on the desk with you as we look at this Vanderbilt performance that we were saying, 45 points on the road against Tennessee. Think what you want to about Tennessee and their defense. It's still a ranked SEC opponent on the road for Vandy. Came in, I think, answered some questions for a lot of people out there. Diego Pavia, again, massive game for him here. Overcame a couple of early interceptions to not only get it going through the air there, Jared, but on the ground as well.
Yeah, and again, I'm not overly enthused with Vanderbilt like stamping the ticket tonight. I do think they still have some maneuvering. This is going to be a really tough decision for the committee, but you give Clark Lee all the credit in the world. I think they're about to flip one of the top quarterback recruits from Georgia, sign the extension. I think this is kind of a turning point for not only Vandy, but the rest of the programs. And this is why the Ole Miss Lane discussion is so fascinating. The only reason you leave is because you don't think you can win a national championship at Ole Miss. But if Clark Lee is staying and he got offers, if you know, Eli Drinkwitz is staying and he got offers, we know he had a chance to go to Penn State. It just, I feel like the narrative around, oh, you can't win at this school is kind of changing in college football. And Vandy's a great example of that.
Yeah, I think for sure, just given the portal and NIL and all of that it evens the playing field for sure in a lot of these places. I think it's just how hard do you want to have to work at it every single year, because you know, you and I were talking off air, and we can just bring it on air. The reason I think if you're Lane Kiffin, you leave is because you have to work a little bit less in the portal and more just on the recruiting side of things. And you're not having to go out and try and pluck players every single cycle to plug in and do one and dones and all of that to build your team, where LSU is a pretty fertile recruiting ground. Lots of good players come out of Louisiana. Then you get to pick from East Texas as well. You get some of the kids from Mississippi and all of that. And so you can actually build from a recruiting standpoint, whereas at Ole Miss, it's going to be a constant. But listen, he did a great job this year with it, but like, it's going to be a constant churn of going and getting this kid from there and this kid from there
Trinidad
and this kid
Chambliss from this kid, Ferris State.
Yeah, like, you've got to go and you got to pluck these kids all over, because you're just
and
not
you're
going
wrong more than you're right a lot.
Yeah, because you're not going to recruit against Bama and Georgia in that area. No. And you also have another school, and I understand Mississippi State's a bottom feeder, but you still have another Power Four school in your own state, whereas Louisiana doesn't. Like, you know, there's not another big time program in Louisiana competing against LSU. And so that's why I kind of think maybe ultimately, even though Ole Miss apparently is matching every offer that LSU is putting out there, that he leaves maybe just because, hey, I might can get a two deep just out of recruiting, as opposed to having to go and, like you said, scout these D2 teams and all of this stuff to like see.
It's
if
a
I
lot
can,
of work.
Yeah.
You ever been to Ferris State? I covered sports there when I used to work in Northern Michigan. There ain't a whole lot there. It's outside of Grand Rapids. But yeah. I think you get this overall vibe of consumerism that is now seeping into college football, and the way that the players are matching and moving. And I hope, personally, I hope Lane stays at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Because I think that story is way better. It's a more fun ending. It's a happy ending. Whereas if he leaves, he's the villain. And really, he's screwing these kids over.
Fourth and two.
Oh, boy.
Fourth and two. Fourth and game.
Fourth and ball game.
Yes. Fourth and game for LSU. But they have moved the ball. I mean, they are.
Oh, wow.
They're down. The yes. Fourth and two. They're down at the 30-yard line. And I can't see what's happening.
Incomplete.
And that's going to be the ball game.
So Oklahoma's going to win. They're going to take three knees.
There it is.
And that'll be two knees. Only a $1.16 left. That's it.
So that'll be it. So Oklahoma will
under comes home. 36.5.
Will move to 10-2 as they hold on at home.
How about that?
Against LSU. LSU cannot convert on the fourth and two. Seems like you should probably have a better play drawn up for that.
What a wild game.
Seems like you have a fourth and game play maybe, but it doesn't look like they did right there. But
I don't think they did.
You know, that's LSU season in a nutshell right there. They will fall to 7-5. They'll play in a toilet bowl somewhere, and then we'll see what happens a little bit later with...
Maybe they'll come
with,
back to Vegas.
You know, yeah.
Maybe right? We'll, don't SEC comes to Vegas, the Vegas Bowl, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. And we'll see if what Lane Kiffin decides to do
that
as well.
That will be the more interesting part of the conversation.
A little bit later. I mean, it was supposed to be today, right?
I'll be honest. You think he's going to milk this thing? He's going to milk
if
it.
If I was him and his agent, I would for sure.
Well, now you have a legit – well, here's why they might milk it till tonight. If Alabama loses, they're going to the SEC championship game.
Mm.
And that changes the narrative a little bit because let's be honest, what were the odds? I'm sure someone can pull it up of a Texas money line, Auburn money line parlay in addition to Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss obviously was a big favorite. They were about 7-point favorite. But whatever the odds were of an Ole Miss money line, Texas money line – Auburn money line parlay, those were the odds of Ole Miss playing in the SEC championship game. They're probably pretty high. I would imagine it's over 10-1, 15-1, somewhere in that range. I think you got to let him coach the SEC championship game if he doesn't make his decision before then. Maybe he's waiting till the Bama game it finishes.
I guess if you're, Oklahoma fans going nuts, team going crazy. I mean, I guess if you're a fan, you look at this and you go, we played about as terrible as we could play and we still won. Like, we found a way to win. And I understand LSU's not lived up to expectations this year, but it's still an SEC team with a bunch of good players, and you got the touchdown when you needed the touchdown. You know, I mean, I guess that's one way to walk away from this game.
Yeah, and honestly, Mateer made one big throw. Mm-hmm. He made one important throw in the game, and that was the difference in the game. I'm just glad it stayed under, because that would have been a really rough beat for the under. At 36 and a half, if it landed 37 and they won 20-17.
It definitely would have been a bad beat, but as it says on the screen right there, 99% chance for Oklahoma.
I think they're in.
Yeah.
But now it's the Vandy discussion. And now who do you match? It's really tough to keep Vandy out.
Mm-hmm.
You're keeping them out on name recognition only. They went 10-2 in the SEC, and their only two losses are to Texas and Alabama, both on the road.
And they know what this means because... they're still throwing. They're up 40. They're up 20. They're up three touchdowns in this game, and they know
that Bobby is still chucking.
And it's like they know getting to 50.
He wants that Heisman.
Yeah, and they know getting to 50 probably matters. You know, I mean, seriously, yeah, it probably matters.
Wow. Bobby just went over his passing yards prop with that throw. I know because I was on the over. He was at 253 and he just got to 268 and he's at 262.5. How about that? That's a nice little back door for me.
And for anybody that is upset about this, this is the world we live in. They have to do this.
And he's going for the Heisman too. Yeah. I think the Heisman is also part of this. Like, he's running it.
Yeah,
right now.
He's literally running the ball.
How often does your quarterback how often you run quarterback power up 21 with a minute left? Like, never.
So
unless you're going for the Heisman.
Yeah, so there we go. That gets him over 150 as well, rushing. So
I wouldn't be shocked if he ran it again or threw it again on this next play.
So that was to get him over 150 rushing. So he's at 268 passing. That gets him over 100. Yeah, now 165 rush. So, yeah, so we're padding the stats right now. Yeah. Yes. Like, and good on that. Whatever, man. You're Vanderbilt. You were the doormat for 3 decades.
Agreed.
So
how many
live
times in a row did you lose to Tennessee? Yeah. I think I saw it like a million times in a row you lost to Tennessee. Yeah.
I mean, live it up, man. I am okay with that. I don't care one bit. Guys, if you're ready to boost your bankroll, Bronco's giving new depositors 50% purchase bonus. Just use the promo code VEASAN when you sign up. The lines are live over there at the Betting Splits page as well. PlayBronco.com is the website. Use that promo code VEASAN, 50% purchase bonus when you do. So we have Oklahoma with announcement. What on Lane? Oh, imminent, it says.
Oh, wow.
Imminent.
Who said that?
It's on the lower third there on the screen.
Are we going to get this feels very much like LeBron the decision.
Imminent, it says.
Are we going to get him on camera doing this? That would be so tacky.
Is he going through Marty to do it? Is this what's going on? Are him and Marty boys?
Well, here's the thing. It is obvious based off of watching him. So I actually have a little bit of experience working with him on the back end of my tenure at FAU.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at FAU. Mm-hmm. And so I had a chance to chat with a couple of people who really worked with him closely. He understands the media. Like,
sure.
He gets the pomp. Like, some coaches are just old school. I don't want to deal with it. I, you know, the SID handles all of it. And I'm just kind of the guy doing the thing. he very much likes to insert himself into it. I mean, he had the remember when he posed for the selfie with the kid who proposed? Like, he is very much front and center. So I wouldn't be shocked if he had a little back channel going on with Marty Smith or maybe someone else and another reporter that he was comfortable with, and he gave them the scoop. That would not shock me in the slightest.
Jared, we have a kickoff coming momentarily here, Virginia Tech, Virginia. You did have a play in this one.
Yeah, I'm on the Kyren Drones under 59.5 rushing yards, to be fair, since we started the show 2 hours ago. I have no idea where that number is now. I have not had time to check that market since we started our show. But I bet under 59.5 rushing yards on Drones. He is a guy that is going to look to run first. But there's a couple of anchors weighing him down, to go with the Vandy theme for the day. And the biggest one really is the game script. I think Virginia Tech's going to need to throw, even though they haven't really thrown much this year and they haven't really succeeded to throw it. But I do think Virginia's going to be very much on the front foot, stopping the run, stacking the box, forcing the Hokies to throw. And then, of course, anytime you bet in, anytime I see a good matchup with a rushing yard under for a quarterback, you always get the sack element in college football that is on your side. Unlike when you're betting an over, you got to worry about the sacks deducting from your total.
So 45-24 is our final. Vanderbilt flashed up on the screen right there. First 10 win season in school history. Again, like we said, it was they were a perennial doormat in the SEC. Everyone made the joke. They were only in the SEC to boost the grade point average. You know, that was the only reason that they kept them around. And here they are 10-2 on the season, knocking on the door of making the playoff. Pavia, big game for him, gets a big touchdown run, strikes the Heisman pose, all of the stuff like that. So good on Vandy. We will see. Of course, now it's just a waiting game right now. We still have to kick off between Alabama and Auburn. We'll get Jared's final thoughts there on that one before it gets going. Of course, we got to get into this NFL slate as well. Don't go anywhere. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Two key finals. Oklahoma gets it done 17-13 over LSU. Late touchdown. It was a struggle, but a win is a win is a win. They moved to 10-2 on the season, and as we saw on the screen, a 99% chance of making the playoff. And Vandy goes on the road to Tennessee 45-24. They move to 10-2 on the season. Pavia goes 165 on the ground to go along with his 268 through the air. And again, Jared, as we were saying, there's going to be a bunch of Vandy doubters out there, but, and listen, they still, people still may look at this and say, whatever, it's Tennessee. Yada, yada. You went on the road in the SEC against your rival, and then you lay the smackdown on him.
As a dog.
Yeah.
And that, I think that, to me, is the more important part of it, is that they continue to be undervalued in the market. I mean, this is a really, it'll be, let's leave it at this. It'll be very fascinating if they do make the playoff, and they get, it'll be a road game most likely in that first game, because I don't think they're going to be in the top eight. It'll be very interesting to see how they get priced, because I think the vibe on Vandy this year is they have been very much the darling underdog. Are they going to continue to flourish in that role? Because you would imagine, let's say they go to A&M that first game, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a big dog again. I think they're going to be a very popular pick in that first round.
So we
if
have,
they get in.
Yes. Another game everyone will be watching, and it is because of the implications here, and it's Alabama on the road at Auburn. And oh, by the way, it is all Alabama money coming in here late. We are out to 7 at a couple of different books here. You can still find a 6.5 at FanDuel, but we're 7 here behind us. We are 7 at DraftKings. We are 7 at MGM. We are 7 at Caesars. And so everybody back in the Crimson Tide here about 15 minutes before kick.
Yeah, I think so. I'm on Bama over 9.5 wins for the season. Been sitting. I did not think it had a chance in you know what to hit after that first game against Florida State. But then they obviously got back on track. I think at 7, I gotta take a small piece of Auburn, you know, and hope that Bama wins tight. I think at seven, if you are, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there holding a Bama over 9.5 wins ticket because it was a very popular choice before the season started as well. A lot of people thought Bama was maybe the number one team in the country. And I still think they've got a chance to win the national championship. But yeah. Ty Simpson has to elevate that level and they've got to find some semblance of a run game. But for this particular matchup, at this point, the only side you can even consider betting is Auburn.
Another couple of kicks coming here. Illinois-Northwestern, that is 7 in favor of Illinois. USC and UCLA, that is out to 21.5. Is that really 23 here behind us? Someone must have come in and laid the wood on USC here at Circa Sports. Looks like it's maybe out to 23 here. So,
2 points off market.
Yeah, so there is a big discrepancy between the book here and the rest of the market out there. Someone came in and put some serious money.
Major
on USC.
Money.
Yeah, on, I mean, on USC.
It makes me want to lay 21 at one of these other shots.
I was going to say, it really does make me want to run to the book here. I mean,
hold on. You handle the rest of this segment. Yeah, I'm going to go walk up across the street and go get a little bet down on USC there.
Something else. So 21 ever at 23 behind us. So, yeah, somebody came in and put something down. Boy, you don't see that very often. The 2 point
2 points off markets. Yeah. What, 5-10 minutes before kick?
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
That's a stack.
That's a someone walked Duffel in here. Bag. With a, yeah, I was gonna say someone walked in here with a bag behind us. We just didn't see it on break. So we'll keep you updated on all of those games. Of course, I'm so glad that you're here today instead of Samish, so I can just make fun of this.
Tell him. Don't worry.
I can just make fun of this, and then I'll make fun of it while he's here tomorrow as well. But we can put it up. You're watching with us on television or on the VSiN Watch app. You can see his big dumb head here on this ad that we've got here. So apparently we're going to run a contest where you can just go up against Samich in horse racing picks, right?
That's not a smart idea.
That's his thing. So there he is. Look at his big old noggin. And like that's representative. He's got a big old head, just a watermelon head, that guy. So it's to carry all
it's
that.
It's got
horse,
a lot of brains in it.
Well, it's got all the it's got all the horse racing
all,
stuff.
All the horse manure.
So First Bet is giving you a free chance to take down Samich in a 5-race showdown. This is happening Saturday, December the 6th. So I think that's next Saturday, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Championship Saturday. Nothing else really going on that day.
Next Saturday. So it is the H. Allen Jerkins at Gulfstream and 4 graded stakes at Aqueduct, including the G2 Cigar Mile. He'll explain tomorrow what all these things are. I'm just reading. I have no idea. I don't have any idea what these are, but he'll explain. They're obviously big races here. You submit a $2 win place mythical pick and try to end the day with more money than Mike. Anyone who does will split the $5,000 grand prize credited right to their First Bet account. The contest opens this Thursday, December the 4th. First.com, 1st.com/VSiN. That is 1st.com/VSiN, free to enter. And, of course, you get all the bragging rights in the world. And if you beat him, trust me, I will just be relentless on all the people. Because, this is the thing here. Like, you know, if you're the horse racing dude,
you can't you gotta
step
to
up.
The public.
Yeah, you got to step up and you got to win this thing. So go in. He won't be smiling like that whenever you beat him. Well, this, you know, if you're watching at home, you can see what I'm talking about. He won't be smiling. That big head of his will just be sad.
It's a lot of pressure.
Coming here. Yeah, it really is. So I can't wait until next, next Saturday for him to just get beat down by all of you guys out there. That is first.com/VSiN, 1st.com/VSIN. Go in, beat him, let me make fun of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know the first thing about betting on horses. Anytime I'm even considering betting on a race, I always talk to him or someone else.
So, you know, we kind of do some bits between he and I because he really likes horse racing and whatever. And
he's good at it.
And he's good at it. Yeah. So I played like I have no idea what's going on. I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. There's like Louisiana Downs is right there. I was going to the track when I was like 7 years old, right? I mean, like it was just a thing you could do. It was just take, you know, whatever you could. So I know a little bit about whatever, but it's a fun bit. But it makes the horse people so mad.
They get upset.
They get so mad. Like they get mad. The most hate tweets that I get is when I like kind of like make fun of of horse racing. When
it is a very niche sport.
I'm not making fun of it. What I'm doing is I'm setting the table for him to sound even smarter than he already is. But boy, that really makes everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you go to the bar and you always want to be the most attractive. You want your friend to look a little bit uglier. It makes you look more attractive.
Or the art of being a great wingman, which would be me propping you up, right? Like I come in, I prop you up, all the stuff like that. Whatever.
It's easy, professional.
That's all I'm doing here.
We've actually never worked together before until this day. Look how smooth it is.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like, I mean, this is what you do. And instead, everyone's like, you idiot, quit talking about horses. You know nothing about horses. And I'm like, oh, man.
The one thing I've learned about our business, people are professionally offended. Look at what the Erin Andrews clickbait was last week about that. You know, the whole, you know, she was up, you know, they really took her out of context with the part about her, you know, not working holidays. People were just got so upset about it. I was like, wow.
They didn't even read the article.
Well, it's just everyone just gets so offended before they even jump. It's just everyone jumps to the conclusions very quickly.
So it begins. So Brett McMurphy just tweeted just a set of eyes. He just tweeted the eyes.
That's, you want to talk about clickbait.
Yeah. Like all he did
Brett,
was,
I love you, bud. You're a reporter. Tweet the news.
Yeah, all he did was tweet eyes.
Tweet the news.
But like you said, maybe Lane has a deal with Marty or something or whatever or something like that.
I said this on my morning radio show. I think he's staying, but I'm wrong a lot. But that's me wanting him to stay because it's terrible for the kids and the fans if he goes. Terrible. It's the worst case scenario for the players and the fan base for him to leave at this point in time, which is why I want and hope that he stays.
I honestly, and I know this seems crazy because I'm an LSU guy, I'm kind of indifferent.
Mm.
You know, I'm kind of indifferent because I think it works out beneficially for LSU one way or the other, which you either get a proven entity in him. But now that all the other guys have like signed their extensions and they've whatever, it's like now you're not going to get a retread. And I think that your only option now is to go after kind of like an up and comer
Summerall
and whatever, or something like that, which I think is also good because the problem LSU has had is it's always been, you know, your Les Miles's and your Brian Kelly's and your whatever, like you're going after like the dude every
big
single
fish.
Day. Nobody, they never go after kind of the up and coming guy. And so, you know, I think if Lane says no, I'm actually kind of like not all that bummed about it because it's like, okay, good. Like go ahead and say no. And then they're forced into an up and comer.
I think that's the I'm a Penn State alum. Mm-hmm. And that's the debate that they're having right now. Penn State, I think, really wanted Drinkwitz. They interviewed mm-hmm. him twice. I think Missouri said, well, we want to keep you. And that deal fell through. And now they're kind of in no man's land where I think Pat Kraft wants to make the splash higher, mm-hmm. wants to bring in the Brian Kelly type. I've heard Kalen DeBoer's name mentioned. We've heard some other big names. But in reality, the best path forward for them in the long run is more likely a Bob Chesney.
Yeah.
Or someone who's more on the up and coming plateau. Can you catch the Cignetti lightning in the bottle? That's what you really want. You want to hire the guy before he becomes the big name.
Virginia into the end zone, 7-0 at the 7:26 mark of the first quarter. We'll let you know where this line ends up with Alabama and Auburn before kick. And let's get into the NFL. Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Jarrett Smith here on the desk with me as we watch Virginia punch it in right before we went to break. 7-0 at home over Virginia Tech. So we do have one score on the board there in that one. We were talking about people milking things like Lane Kiffin milking this decision thing. Well, how about them milking this Alabama-Auburn kickoff? They actually now have listed it at 4:47 Pacific time. So another 17 minutes. You got plenty of time, people, if you want to get in on this one. Sevens across out there. There are a couple six and a halves that are getting kind of toggled back and forth. So people are definitely taking the seven with Auburn, kicking it down to 6.5. And then there's another group that's coming back in and battling them, taking those 6.5. So 48.5 seems to be where we're going to kick off, though, Jared. So a total knocked up a little bit since you and I came on air, about a half point and a half there. from a total standpoint, but all the way out to 7. We went from 5.5 to 7 at some of these books.
I'll be honest. I mean, I'm kind of handcuffed here. I have to take 7.
Yeah.
Not because I think Auburn is live to win the game, and that's usually actually, no, I take that back. I do think they're live mm-hmm. to win the game, but I usually err on the side of, do I think this underdog is going to win the game? If so, then I'll bet the points. I just have to protect a ticket that I've been sitting mm-hmm. on for
yeah.
5 months and with an opportunity to middle on sure. a key number. So I think, sure. You know, Bama by a field goal would be awesome here.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, this was – you just don't see – I mean – point and a half. I mean, look, you see
big
these,
move.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
you well, see, now that's two of them because we had USC yeah. too, so it could have been the same group.
Yeah,
could have been
mean,
the same group coming in late, coming in hot.
And we said we should. So people tailed what was going on here. So it's 21.5 now across the board. Fanatics just goes to 22. So people saw what happened at Circa. We should have got in. I mean, at the very least, we'd have had the better number. But yes, yeah. it's the 21s are gone there on USC. 21.5 across the industry, 22 at Fanatics. So everybody saw what happened
probably
out here behind
closes
us.
22.
Yeah.
Usually when,
yeah.
And again, this is like, I feel like the more, like, it's almost like the Matrix when Neo starts to see the lines. Like the way that the board lights up, you can almost tell based off of how big the how much it steams. And then when the buyback occurs, mm-hmm. where that middle ground is going to land, 22 feels like the right number. That's yeah. just a guess, but I'm guessing we land 22.
Yeah, just interesting to see. People saw Circa's definitely influential money. You know, we can't say for sure that it was a sharp person, you know, that did it. Like, I mean, you know, we don't know who made the – they'll take anybody's big bet out
yes,
here behind
will.
Us. That is one of the things that is about Circa that is different from all the other books. You walk in with a briefcase and, you know, it is
it's go time.
Yeah, it's go time. They're as long as you can prove that the money isn't like stolen
yeah.
or whatever. Yes, there.
You got a cop behind yeah. you running after you, then you might have some problems.
Yes, but it got all the way up to 23, and now we're seeing this, like I said, light up across every other book out there. Man, I keep getting these grown men giving me wrestling updates. Are you a wrestling guy?
No. I was when I was a kid.
Yeah, I guess there's wrestling on ESPN tonight
not
or something
thing.
Or whatever. And like,
nothing against the wrestling people. They will come after you hard and fast.
I just got Survivor Series in my ear, so somebody back there is watching this.
Listen, guys, I feel the same way about wrestling that I do about video games. Very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Don't have time for it.
Yeah.
How do you have time for? I don't even have time to handicap the NBA in season. And you want me to now figure out a whole nother sport that is, to be fair, fixed? Like, people say that the NFL is rigged. Wrestling really is rigged, guys. You know that, right?
it's a you know, male soap opera. So
it is definitely. Yeah. Now, and make no mistake, they are amazing athletes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
Phenomenal athletes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I have to take hours of my day to watch, what is it, probably like a 4-hour event
yeah.
tonight?
Yeah, it'll be, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's every
yeah,
bit of,
yeah,
of 4 hours. So, but everyone's giving me updates on the wrestling. It's like, man, I'm just trying to find out where Kiffin's going, man.
That's really all we care about right now.
Yeah, it's just like we're trying to find out where Kiffin's going. Okay, let's get into the NFL, like we said. It's the Houston Texans on the road at the Indianapolis Colts. C.J. Stroud has passed concussion protocol. He will be back in there for the Houston Texans. And then we get kind of out of nowhere that Daniel Jones is playing with a stress fracture in his leg, which we're kind of like, I saw that he was a little bit hesitant to run the last couple of weeks, but I just thought like, hey man, it's a long season. It's probably beat up a little bit. Like, you know, it's like, hey, I'd rather not take that hit. Oh no, his leg is broken. You know, like whatever, it's playing through it. So with that, we get a 3.5 in favor of Indy here in this one. It is 3 behind us. It is 3 at ESPN. It is 3.5 everywhere else. 44.5, the prevailing total here in this one. Jared, Houston's offense, I guess, has left a little bit to be desired for sure. But this defense has shown up each and every week.
100%. Mm-hmm. I actually think it might. You got to make an argument that it's the best defense in the NFL. It's definitely in the top 5. At least that's what the numbers say. I've been on a wild ride with this game throughout the week. So on Sunday night, when I saw 3.5, mm-hmm. and I thought to myself, that feels like they're not fully accounting for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
That feels like it's a half-baked number. And I was like, okay, I think he's going to play this week, right? He's missed two games mm-hmm. with a concussion. I think this is the week that he plays. I had no information that he was playing. I was just going off of the history of usually after two games, unless it is a serious concussion, usually you come back. So I figured I would get ahead of it 3.5 and we would close three or shorter. And then the news comes Monday that he's still in concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. And then we get to 4.5 like that. And I thought that was a bit of a strange news dump on a Monday because you don't even practice until Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a little bit of, I don't want to say misinformation, but let's call it misleading information, where maybe that's Houston saying, hey, maybe we'll, you know, move Indianapolis's mm-hmm. focus a little bit away from the quarterback position and give them some guesswork on who's going to actually start this week. But once we got to 4.5, I thought that seems to, like, even if Davis Mills plays, like, I just don't see it going much higher than that. So I did a podcast on Wednesday and I said, hey, bet the Houston 4.5. And I feel like we're going to come down. And then the Stroud news got significantly better. And now we're at 3. And I wouldn't be surprised if it hits the screen officially on Sunday morning and we do inch towards 2.5. Maybe we don't fully get off the 3. Maybe it's a 3, you know, plus 3 minus 120 kind of deal. So if you have a 3.5 available, especially a minus 110, 3.5, I feel like that's a pretty decent bet that you can make right now, and it'll probably close 3 on Sunday or, you know, in that vicinity. Now for the game handicap, I think we're full sell on Indy, right? Like, I just feel like it's hard to bet them as a favorite right now.
Yeah, so kind of as a little bit of a fade just off of this Daniel Jones. So the reason I think that we all loved Daniel Jones at the beginning of the year, too, was the fact that he did bring the element of the run game. Like, I mean, again, I know we like use this term sneaky athletic and all this stuff like that, but the dude had pretty good running instincts. He knew kind of when to pull it down and take off. And he was picking up key first downs and extending drives and all of that. And I can only imagine, I don't know, I've never played football on a broken leg before, but I'm going to assume that, like, you're probably not going to run as often. And that certainly changes my handicap of this team in general, because if you're not picking up those little extra first downs and you're not getting that little extra boost of, oh, he moved the chains because he picked up that 3rd and 4 whenever the play broke down, I don't know how I can get there. Same deal. When this got to 4.5, I just thought it was too much.
Yeah.
I thought Stroud was going to be back anyway. So it was just too much for me. And then I also played an under on this thing because I'm still not in love with this offense for Houston, even with Stroud in there. And then what we're getting now is week 3 of Sauce Gardner being in the Indy secondary. And then also week 2 now of Charvarius Ward being back in there. So it's actually just the second week that they're back in there in tandem. You stick Sauce Gardner on Nico Collins, and then who is the second receiver that you're worried about? I mean, you're not worried about Christian. Yeah, it's like you're not worried about Christian Kirk anymore. You're not worried about Higgins. You're not worried, like, you're not really worried about these dudes. Like, maybe Dalton Schultz has a big day at tight end or something, but I don't know where the points come from on the Houston side of things. And then same deal in Indy, like with the Daniel Jones injury, with kind of like the formula of stop Jonathan Taylor, make Daniel Jones throw. I don't know. I think 45, there was 45.5 available 2 days ago. I thought 45.5 was too much. It's down to 44.5. I still think that's fine on the 40, on the half point over 44, the key-ish number or something. So I still like the under there.
I agree. I think there's a case to be made. So if you're really bullish on Houston and you're trying to figure out, right, because at this point in the year, you're not going to find a lot of value with the side or the total. Mm-hmm. So you've got to find the value. And when I say find the value, the sports book right now is you know, analyzing the Texans as an offense that really struggled to start the year. To be fair, when you have two rookie receivers and a rookie running back, you might not fully get up to speed right away. So the sports book putting a number on Houston's offense, and this is why I like the Texans on a side, they're grading them based off of what we saw for the full season. But I would argue that those rookies have taken a step forward here by week 13. And you're not fully baking in that step forward. You're just kind of grading them on the offense you've seen through the first 13 weeks of the year. And I think there's still a little value to the upside on this Texans team.
Guys, every single thing we do over at VSiN.com is available to you for $60 now until May the 1st at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is our Black Friday special. It's the biggest sale that we do all season long. So go in, $60 to get the picks, to get the splits, to get all of the projections, every single thing that we do on a daily basis at VSiN.com for $60 now to May the 1st, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jared Smith in here as we count down all of the, just ridiculousness over in the NFL this week. Hopefully it just continues into this week. I want to see all kinds of madness. If I'm going to get
bet every underdog,
if I'm going to get bumped from Survivor, let me just like have the weirdest week in the history of the NFL happen this week. Yes, I am done. I was one of the 95% of people that got eliminated over the Thanksgiving / Black Friday week over in Survivor. Of course, we will have Jeff Benson and Derek Stevens in here with us a little bit later as we break down whenever they decide to release those numbers here and what's going on in week number 13B. But it is just it was wild. And of course, we came to the end of Grandissimo as well. Six-way chop for $6.9 million over there. Are we finally going to kick off? Are we finally going to kick off Alabama and Auburn? Is this happening?
I mean, don't get me wrong. 4:46 would have been a good start time, but they had to insist on 4:47.
Yeah. So here we go.
I don't know how they came up with that random arbitrary number.
48.5 is going to be the number from a total standpoint, and either a very juiced 6.5 or a 7 is going to be the number as we kick off on that one as well. As Jared mentioned, a couple minutes here. Looks like we're finally getting everything on the screen here.
I took a small baby slice of Auburn +7 to cover my Alabama win total bet. So hopefully we get Bama by 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
Or 6, yeah, whatever. We'll take it. Missed extra point or something like that?
Or 1 or 2. Games don't land one, right? Yeah, except for this game. And this game, I was going back and doing some research on this game this week. I mean, the last time Bama was in this building, it was the Jalen Milroe 4th-and-31. I remember I was watching that game with an Auburn fan, and she almost, like, her soul left her body on 4th-and-31. And then you have the kick six, you got the Cam Newton crazy comeback, you got multiple overtime games. This rivalry has been absolutely bananas.
Yeah, it's a good one. I know everyone talks about this and that rivalry, the best rivalry in sports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, you know, I mean, if you're an SEC fan, you probably think it's Bama, if you're, you know, a Big Ten fan, like it's all where you're from.
Yeah, 100%. It's all where you're from. Like, I do think there are certain ones that are above the regional bias. Sure. I think the Michigan Ohio State. I think this one. Yeah. I think Army Navy.
Yeah.
I think frankly Army Navy kind of supersedes all regions because of just the patriotism that goes along with that particular rivalry, and also to be fair to Army and Navy, like they're just not. Right. Traditional college football powerhouses today, 100 years ago they were. So it's more, patriotism, I think, involved with that one.
So we came off a 3.5 at one more book out there just while we were on break in the Houston Indy game. So people taking Houston.
People were listening.
Yeah, we're moving lines.
Whoever you were.
Yeah, we're moving lines.
Give us a kickback when the Texans win that game.
Arizona is on the road at Tampa Bay. This is also sitting at 3.5 in favor of the Bucs at home, 44.5. Is our total here in this one. It does look like Baker Mayfield is going to go with that left shoulder injury. Again, non-throwing shoulder. It's a pain tolerance deal. He is going to get the good stuff before the game, the stuff that we can't get our hands on, and he'll gut it out. Bucky Irving is going to make his return finally. Man, this thing drug on way, way longer than they thought it was going to. We're questionable on Dean and Reddick on the defensive side of the ball. Left guard also listed as questionable there for Tampa. On the Arizona side of things, as we know, still no Kyler Murray. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett. They did not get Trey Benson off of IR. Had a setback. He was limited first. He has limited practice and then double DNPs. Looks like he might be done for the season there. So it is going to be Bam Knight because DeMarcado ruled out there for them. Looks like Harrison is going to be back, but man, after what Michael Wilson has done over the last 2 weeks, Jared, who, by the way, has looked more explosive, has looked like he has better hands, has looked all this, it seems like he has a better route tree than Marvin Harrison. I'm very curious to see the distribution here. Obviously, we know the first target's always Trey McBride, but after that, how do you get away from Wilson after what he's done the last couple of weeks?
And I think in general, like when I look at this Arizona team, Brissett's been pretty good.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I know he hasn't been maybe as sexy as you want a starting quarterback to be,
But Arizona's got the second highest explosive passing rate over the last 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's despite a very high volume of passing plays. You know, usually that number, that explosive pass rate number can trick you a little bit because it's a percentage of the plays you run. So yeah. if you don't run a lot of passing plays and you only throw it 15, 20 times, but 4 or 5 of those were explosives, all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is a spray, you know, run and gun, air raid, explosive passing offense. Yeah, you have to look at the context of each stat, but the context of that stat says they've got a very high volume of passing plays because they're behind a lot, and as Matt just mentioned, they can't run it because they don't have any running backs left. So you have to give Jacoby Brissett a lot of credit, and they've kind of pushed Kyler Murray. That's going to be a very interesting offseason discussion, yeah, how they handle quite. Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
But
Brissett played himself into, like, starting for, like, the Jets next year or something, right?
Oh, I mean,
like,
don't even say it. I mean, don't even say it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Because, like, the Jets are probably holding out for Arch Manning 2 years from now. So they're, yes. like, they're not going to take – so it's probably, like, Brissett played his way into, like, a bridge quarterback situation.
100%. Yeah. And then you look at the Bucs defense, 30th in explosive pass rate allowed over that week. I mean, over the stretch of the 4 weeks that Arizona's offense has become very explosive with their passing game. So I think if the game script does flip negative for Arizona – I kind of see a path for some overs for Brissett, right? Wilson, you know, maybe you want to get a little bit frisky with Harrison. I don't know what their number, they're going to put on his number, you know, with his first game back. But I definitely can see a long completion prop for Brissett. And just the overall yards prop, I think, is fair game because this Cards offense right now is chucking it around.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced I'm going to play the 3.5. I was hoping what I'm hoping for here, Jared, and I'm getting greedy, is that 90 minutes before game time, when Baker is officially ruled in,
get an extra half point,
that I might get the extra half point and whatever. And all. So I don't think I'm going to lose the half point. I think I could only gain. So I'm going to hold out. Now, I might be on the wrong side of this, and who knows? Maybe a group wakes up tomorrow morning and decides that they're going to, you know, play whatever. And then I get by far the worst of it. But I think I'm going to hold out because one thing we've seen from just the general public is they wait until it's officially official.
Sure.
You know, like they wait until it's officially official. And then when Baker gets the officially official in, maybe I get this thing to 4. I think Arizona can keep this thing close with a compromised Baker Mayfield. I mean, like, I know he's tough as nails and he's going to be shot up with all kinds of great meds, but dude, he's going to get hit. He's going to fall on that shoulder repeatedly. And I know it's not his throwing shoulder, but dude, you're still up here with the ball. You're still like trying to move normally and stuff. And like, if you are just in intense pain, that's going to affect your performance.
His numbers have trended down dramatically over the last few weeks. Anyways, I'm on the Emeka Egbuka Offensive Rookie of the Year prop or future. I got it at 9-1. I think it was after week 1 or week 2 I got on that. And I thought I was in the clear once Jackson Dart went down. But now Egbuka's been trending down. And it hasn't been his fault. I think it's more Bucks offense trending down. And he's just kind of, you know, one of the reasons why. That's one of the results of the overall Bucks offense trending down is Egbuka's numbers have kind of, you know, hit the tank a little bit. But what you're describing about waiting for that extra half point, that's asymmetric risk. I mean, I think that's a very sharp way to play the markets. It's not on a key number, so it's not as impactful. Like if that was a 7.5 and you're waiting, oh my goodness, I might be able to get a 7, right? Like if you know, if they're the dog in that scenario. But because they're the favorite and you're moving in between those key numbers, I think it makes sense to wait. But my guess is 3.5 probably is where we close there.
Jacksonville, Tennessee. I don't know if we need a ton of time to talk about this one. It is 6.5 in favor of Jacksonville. 41.5 is our total. Under a touchdown, I played Jacksonville. And I mean, Mike, I can sit here and give you all the reasons why. How about this? I'll make this like nice and streamlined for you. They're the worst team in the NFL. I'm getting one of the teams that's actually kind of trending in the right direction. I slept on this Jacksonville defense a little bit more than I should have. They're pretty good. And I'm getting them against the worst team in the NFL at under a touchdown. So there's your handicap.
The market is not agreeing with that handicap, but I agree that in general, Jacksonville might be a sneaky play on team down the stretch. Now, here is the bear case for the Jags. They had the double desert game. They had to go to Vegas, come back home, then go back to the desert in Arizona, and then come back home. And when you're back and forth, as you know, living in the desert, being coming from a humid climate to the desert and then going back to a humid climate to the desert, it can play tricks on you a little bit. So they've had two back-to-back trips where they were in Vegas, then back home, back to Arizona, back home. We'll see how that impacts their fitness and their cardiovascular and their energy. But on paper, I agree. The Titans are the worst team in the NFL.
I slept on this Jacksonville defense a little bit too much. When I dug in, all the stats that you and I like to talk about and look at and that we find valuable, they're basically inside the top 10 in just about every single one of them. And I don't know why I had a blind spot there for this defense. But that's basically the handicap there for me. Rams and the Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, and the Miami Dolphins when we come back.